Today, finish up the Mo'oz Tzor. I have here a few copies. Anyone needs the Mo'oz Tzor on the table? There's a few copies. We are up to the third stanza. Remember, there are a total of six stanzas in the Mo'oz Tzor. We did the Vir. Yesterday was the Vir's Babavel. The Yein Ra'al Masach, the poison cup. The Kates Bavel, Zri Bavel, the Kates Shim, the three different Nikitsen, three different names. So we're up to Kurois Kamas. So we're up to the Golas of Paras Umadai. No, we did it today in the Megillah. But we didn't do it in the Mosur. Okay, so here we're condensing the entire period of the Golas Paras Umadai, which I believe was 57 years, right? The entire period, era of Golas. We have a meeting for Mincha, by the way? We have Minyan for Mincha? People are going to come? I don't know if we're going to have Minyan for Mincha.
Okay, so
here we have the entire period, the era of the Golas of Paras and Madai, Haman, all took place during the, in this period. Now, what Kiros means to cut down, Kaimas the height, Birosh. Birosh is a piece of wood, an expensive piece of wood, Bikesh Agogi Ben Hamdasa. So Agogi ben Hamdasa, who is Agogi ben Hamdasa? So this refers to Haman. Now we learn over here that Haman was the son or the descendant of Agogi ben Hamdasa. So just a curious expression, it's a poetic expression, that he was basically the representative. As we mentioned today in the Megillah, that the title of the leader of Amalek is Agag. Just like Paro is the title given to the leader of Egypt, and Avimelech is the title given to the leader of the Pelishtim, the title given to the leader of the nation of Amalek is Agag. So therefore the Python felt entitled to say that Haman was the Agag. He was the leader, I guess we would call Hitler, Yamach Shemo V'Zichro Agag. He was what? No, Verosh is a piece of wood. Oh, that there are different interpretations. We'll discuss that. There are different interpretations of what it means, Verosh. Simply, Verosh is a piece of wood, and he commanded that to erect a piece of wood that's 50 amos tall in order to hang Mordechai from the gallows, from this piece of wood, so that he can have the pleasure. He was a Meshugana, Haman. He could sit in the palace at the party when he went to the party with Esther and Achashverosh and imagine that he's on top of the world. He can see from the party, he can see in the distance, he can see Mordechai is hanging from the top of the gallows. Therefore, he gave the command to cut down the height, the exalted height, 50 amos tall, Gavoa Chamishim Amo, Verosh. It was a piece of wood, an expensive wood we're calling Verosh. Bikesh Agogi ben Hamdasa, this was his Kavana. Haman, who we're calling Agogi ben Hamdasa, that was his Kavana. Okay. Now, other term Kacham Mizra Mechol mentioned is that Verosh refers to Mordechai. Mordechai Verosh is a spice. Okay, Verosh is a spice.
No, you're thinking of Mordechai. Verosh is a cypress tree.
Cypress tree, yes.
Is a tree? That's the push-up shot.
No, but he's referring to the pasuk.
Yeah. Tal Yalev Verosh. Right. And the Medrash says, who's the Verosh? Haman. And the Rosh is, the Verosh is Mordechai. Okay, so it alludes to a beautiful tree. Ki ha'odon eitz hasadeh. A person is compared to a tree, and a tree's beauty is in its height, in its fragrance, in the fruits that it produces. This Verosh is an example of a beautiful tree that represents the tzaddik. So here, instead of saying that in general he wanted to cut down a tree that's very tall so he can enjoy seeing it from the party, it means he wanted to cut down Mordechai HaTzaddik. Mordechai Lo Yichav Lo Yishtachaveh. The goal of Haman was to destroy Haman, the Verosh, Bikesh Agog Gibet Hamdol. But however, what happened? Everything that he tried to do turned into a trap. He fell the pit that he dug for someone else. He himself fell into that pit. The tree that he hung up, that he created for Mordechai, was the gallows which he himself and his 10 children were hung upon. It became a pach and a mokesh for himself. Lemokesh, lepach lemokesh, ulemokesh. I think there's an extra word, there's a mistake. Okay, the nishpasa, and his arrogance was cut down. Now the word gavoso is a very important word when it comes to the Megillah, because there's a pasuk that says Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem. The Gemara darshans this pasuk. This is an important pasuk. The pasuk is in Mishlei Tezvav Chafhei. Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem. The house of the arrogant will Hashem uproot. Who does this refer to? This is the talk with the Eretz Yisrael. Someone is a terrorist, so they have a law. They destroy the house. They destroy. They obliterate. They as a deterrent. Doesn't really work, unfortunately. We see, but they destroy the house of the Rishayim. So the home of the Rasha, the arrogant, Hashem will uproot. Chazal darshan this in reference to Haman. Base Haman was given to Mordechai. Esther gave the home after, as a punishment, the person that's killed the Malchus. It was transferred, and Haman then, and Mordechai then sold it and gave all the money to the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem. Chazal Darshan, in reference to Haman, Geyim is Begematria 44. What is the significance of the number 44? Because in the Megillah, how many times does Haman appear? 44 times. How many times do you clap Haman? 44 times. So therefore, base. That's why we base Geyim Yisach Hashem. Haman is the spitz of the Geyim, of the arrogant, wicked people, and he appears in the Megillah 44 times. The Gematria Geyim. Here, therefore, the Haitan went and he focused on Haman, and that's what it says. The Gavaso Nishpasa. His arrogance was cut down. Gavaso is from the word of Geyim, the Sharish of the arrogance. Rosh Yimini Niseisa, the head of the Yimini, who's the Yimini? Ish Yimini, Hayab Bishushan Harira, Ushma Mordechai.
Which word adds up to 44?
Geyim.
No.
Nem, without the Yud. Without the Yud. There is no Yud. There is no Yud in the Pasuk. In Mishlei, the Yud is Chaser. It's missing. Base Geyim. There is no Yud. The Yud is a vowel. Gimel Aleph Mem is 44. 44 times the word. By the way, where else do we have the number 44? There are 44. There's only one Avinu Malkeinu, right? But there are 44 sentences in the Avinu Malkeinu. Right? There are 44 Avinu Malkeinus. So in this case, so, okay, now next Virosh Yimini Seisa. Yimini is a reference to now. By the way, it's also just the point is the miracle of Purim. The miracle of Purim is where the Malchus of Shaul comes to play. Yimini is Ish Yimini Hoya Bishan is Binyamin. David Hamelech. David is Malchus Yehuda. Purim captures the high point of the Malchus of Shaul. Shaul was from Shevet Binyamin. Shaul's Malchus was never meant to last forever. Shaul's Malchus, in the most ideally, there's a very discussion, the commentators, how Bechlal could Shmuel anoint Shaul when Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin? Lo Yasser Shevet mi Yehuda mechayk mi ben Raglav. The Malchus must come from Yehuda. This week's parasha, Yehuda. Yehuda was the leadership. So what happened? So there are different interpretations. Some hold that it was meant to be two lines of Malchus and Klal Yisrael in ideal times. David, Yehuda, and as an assistant, a Mishnah Lamelech was Binyamin. Binyamin's Malchus would have continued with Shaul and his Yehoina son, but as a secondary vice president, as a Mishnah Lamelech to the ultimate Malchus of Yehuda. That did not work out. Because since Shaul sinned, he made major mistakes, his Malchus was completely truncated, completely came to an end. However, there are still some sparks of his Malchus that came back to life at later points in time in history, namely the time of Purim. The time of Purim is again with Mordechai and Esther, who were descendants of Shevet Binyamin, not Shevet Yehuda, where they served in leadership positions to save and guide Klal Yisrael. So we make the point, Rosh Yemini Niseisa, once again the head of the Yemini Niseisa was elevated to a position of leadership. So it's interesting, for that reason, there is a... Kravets. A kravets is like a piyut you add into the chazar sashatz on Purim. And after, before you conclude each of the 13 brachos, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chayei HaNesim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chayei Nadas, there's a nusach, and many shall say this, it's becoming more popular today. It's becoming more popular today. Years ago, I never saw this start. But recently, in the last couple of years, I've seen some shuls do this. During chazar sashatz, they actually say the kravets. You'll notice there is one bracha for which there is no kravets. Esemach David Avdecha Meira Satzmiach. Mysteriously, when you say the bracha, Esemach David, you don't say there's no kravets. Why not? Why is that the only bracha that lost out the kravets? The answer is because Purim and Esemach David don't get along. Because Esemach David is Malchus of David Yehuda, and Purim is when Shaul returns. The descendant of Shaul HaMelech, Binyamin returns. Yeah.
Just to take that last point a little bit further, the descendant of Shaul overcomes the descendant of Agog, making up for
the mistake.
That's what you're
exactly right.
Say. Yeah.
It's the mistake. Why did Shaul lose the Malchus? Because he did not kill Agag.
Yeah, Barvanel makes a point the same when it says, Lo Yosef Shevet Mehuda, because he points out all the different points in history that it wasn't from Yehuda, but he says it wasn't from Yehuda alone. Yehuda always played a central role in leadership of Klal Yisrael.
But it's a secondary.
Doesn't mean all of the leadership was only from Yehuda. He talks about the Nasi, and he goes through a whole historical point of view that it could be like the Hashmonaim. It could be other leaders.
Right.
Only part of them are from Yehuda.
Okay, next words. The Oyev Shemo Machitza. Oyev, of course, refers to Haman. Ish Tsar. The Oyev Haman Harohazeh. Oyev is the word we refer to Haman. Shmo's name Machitza was obliterated. Okay, so that's why the Igum Minik to bang Haman is not so much to make noise. It's to take a block, and on the block you write the name Haman, and you erase his name. Ki Macho Emche Ezecher Amalek. Roiv Bona. Now here's a very fascinating word. Roiv Bona Vikinyana of Alo Eitz Talisa. Most of his children and his possessions upon the Eitz Talisa did you Hashem hang. Now what does it mean over here? First of all, most of his children. What do you mean? What do you mean most? All of his children. Haman had 10 sons. So first of all, Roiv, there's a discussion here in the Sefer that has an elaboration. Roiv does not necessarily mean most.
His many children.
Most means his distinguished. Roiv means distinguished. Rove Bonav, his most distinguished children, the children that served in government, the children that were in Eretz Yisrael, that were participated in preventing the Jews from rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. The distinguished members of his family were hung upon the 850 Amos. Rove Bonav, yeah?
It's a phrase taken from the Tehillah. He brags about
the Rove Bonav.
Multitude of
so what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean they're in the Megillah? Does it mean they're his multitude, or does it mean his distinguished children? That he's very pleased that John Quincy Adams. Not only did Adams have the president, his son also became a president. How many presidents had a son? Bush W.
No, that's
only two. So. Roy Barnav Vikinyav, it can mean either his, or it can mean his many. 10 children is quite a number, right? To have 10 children, that's a lot of tuitions to pay. So that's quite a feat, 10 children. So it can mean many, or it can mean his distinguished. And the Chazal did indicate that Haman really had hundreds of children. Because Haman had an affair with everyone in the Medina. So he fathered, and in those days there was no. You can get, maybe, who knows? And in those days you can get away with it.
They say today that
it's blackmail. What?
People have Genghis Khan's DNA in China.
What does that mean?
That he fathered so many children.
Who?
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it means. He fathered
people in China with his DNA.
He fathered. It's not necessarily a raya because the Davis show, like even Thomas Jefferson, they have descendants. There's this the DNA, the lady follow the news. DNA lately has had a lot of problems. It's not doing well. DNA testing. There are a lot of flaws in DNA testing. Lately, even like they think flaws. It's not as solid as they make it sound in on the news. Oh, we have DNA. We have testing proving that he was on the scene of the crime. They've shown that just because you have the same DNA doesn't necessarily mean it's you. There are many factors which go into DNA. It's very not so simple. Yeah. They used to say that Thomas Jefferson, right? They said Thomas Jefferson, he fathered for years already. They said for 100 years, they say that he had an ASIC with his slaves. And so now they've proven that it doesn't mean anything. That the DNA, the whole DNA that they're using to support that the whole thesis is it's not even true. It's a relative. It's not only his. Not only that, they've.
It's a false belt.
There are a lot of problems.
It's not accurate science.
So the Roy Bana Vikinyanov Chazal say that the Haman had an ASIC with many women, and therefore it means over here the majority, but not all. There were more children out there than children. Okay. The Kinyanov. What does it mean over here that he hung up the Kinyanov? So the Chazal, the famous Chazal, that tattooed onto his body were the combination or their bank accounts, the Swiss bank accounts of Haman. Haman had assets. His assets were put away all over the world, and for our vocabulary, we would say the Swiss bank accounts were tattooed onto his flesh. So when they hung him up, the Roiv Banov, they also hung up Kinyanov. They hung up the assets, or at least the identification mark of his assets. The combination, people that he tattooed onto his the combination for the what's it called? The safety deposit vault. Safety deposit vault is the combination lock. So on his body, it was hung up. Okay, now here's a very nice diuk. Diuk is here. Okay, running out of time. Here it says by Haman, Roiv Banav V'Kinyanov, the majority. Go back to Par, go back to the second stanza. Ro'os Savanavshi, on the second line, V'chol Zaro Yarduch Evan Bim Sula. Why is it that Egypt, Paro, there, does it say concerning Paro, it says Chol Zaro, the army of Paro, and all of his seed, Yardu Chavin Bimsula, whereas here when it comes to Mordechai, it comes to Haman, it only says Roiv Banav the Kinyan of Alo Eitz Talisa. What's the difference? Why there Chol, why here Chol? So the simple answer is, Mibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Brak. That some of Haman's descendants survived, and in fact they converted, and they learned Torah b'bnei Barak. It does not say that about Paro. Paro, Einochinami, him and his army, v'chol zaro. The curse was complete. Someone had some redeeming factor, which is very, very difficult.
That's what it mentions. Nebuchadnezzar, when it gives all the list, and it says, "What about Nebuchadnezzar?" The Gemara says, "Don't go there."
No, but also
now you cross the line.
There's one Chazal said that Paro himself Ad Echor.
He, but doesn't say his children. Chel Paro v'chol zar, but not Paro himself. But what about his descendants? Wouldn't he want his descendants? Right. So no. So this is something that is very, very difficult. Now, by the way, I once read an article that says all of these individuals upon whom we find that their descendants indeed did convert and become part of Klal Yisrael, it only converted through a daughter. It was diluted. Hashem would never allow a Rasha of this caliber should have a son, a ben achar ben, that should be zochet to be part of Klal Yisrael. The best, if they had some redeeming merit, which whatever their redeeming merit, not only for Hashem to decide, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu diluted their entry into Klal Yisrael through a daughter. So when it says Mibnei Banim Shel Haman Lomot HaBnei Barak, they didn't have the last name. They did not have the last name of Haman HaAgagi. It was through marriage through a daughter. But it's in answers the question why it says Roiv Banav and not contrast the whole Banav. Okay, let's go further. Next, Yevarim. Now we come to the major theme of Hanukkah. This period, now this period, you know, it's a debate. I've seen different sources to go both ways. Was this period composed primarily for Hanukkah, or was it composed primarily for all four, just a general period? So when we started this, I told you that from the very first line of the period, it's pretty clear that this period was composed specifically for Hanukkah. No one took out a pen to write this Mordechai Chazak. Who's this Mordechai Chazak? It's a big mystery. Was he one of the Baalei Taisvis? Was he even an Amora in the Gemara? Was he from the Ga'onim? Was he from the later Rishonim? We don't know exactly who he was, but it's a very ancient piyut. There are different opinions as to who this Mordechai was, but the Pashtus is he took out a pen and composed this piyut in honor of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. But we say also Mitzrayim, so it can be for Pesach, and we say Purim, so it can be for Purim. Well, the first stanza gives it away. The first stanza says Oz Egmar Bishir Mizmor Chanukas Hamizbeach. Why is it called Chanukah? Chanukas Hamizbeach. So therefore, the Pashtus is it was composed for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. But you should be aware that if you'll search in the Svarim that discuss Moshe, so they're not convinced that that's correct. Some will argue that this was composed as a general piyut for all of the Mo'adim. It just so happens to be Ozegmor B'Shem Mizmor Chanukah Samizbech. We're yearning for the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach will come, and then we're going to sing Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David. So it's not Nukhach that the coincidence of the Chanukah Samizbech with Ozegmor B'Shem Mizmor Chanukah Samizbech. It's a coincidence, but it doesn't prove anything. So I just want to tell you that there is a dispute among the commentators if Mol Sur is composed specifically for Hanukkah, or what, which is the Pasha said it was, and we discuss. And once already we're mentioning one miracle, Shulchan Aruch demands that when you have one miracle, you mention more miracles, or no, it was composed specifically, it was composed, never such a thing, it was composed a general period for all of the Chagim. Okay, let's run out of time, let's go first. Yivan and Mikvitzu Abimech Azai. Then the Chashmanim. Okay, the Chashmanim. Why does it say Dafka Azanah? Here's the point theme. Everything about the Yevanim is focused on the Kedusha of the study of Torah. Why do we emphasize Azai? Azai means then and only then. Why? Why is there an emphasis on Azai? The answer is because it says Bibei Chashmanim. Who are the Chashmanim? The Chashmanim is the Malchus Chashmonoi. Were the Chashmonoim Roy to serve in leadership role? Absolutely not. Why did they fill him? Because there was a Hiroa Shah. There was no one from the Malchus of David that was roy to be Melech, so therefore the Chashmonaim had no choice but to step in. The Chashmonaim were Kohanim. Who do they come from? They come from Shevet Levi. The Shevet Levi has a Milah that David does not have, that the Yehuda does not have. Shevet Levi excels in the Nida of Torah. The Levim are the ones who are in charge. The Bnei Levi, they are the koyach of the study of Torah. The Bnei Levi. So therefore, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Holy Yom of Chanukah, the Yevalim, their koyach was not to destroy Klal Yisrael, it was to destroy the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. The Kedusha of Klal Yisrael is rooted in the Torah. And you're living in a generation that Jewish leadership is controlled by the koyach of Torah, that is something that the Yevanim desperately wanted to derail. If the koyach of leadership is in the hands of Yehuda, no, Yehuda are Bnei Torah. There's no question about it. Yehuda shalach lefan of Goshna to set up a base medrash, shemokim hara. But Yehuda is not the koyach of Torah. Yehuda is the koyach of leadership. The koyach of leadership, the Torah is the chashmonoim, the Sheva Levi. So it was specifically in a generation when the koyach of leadership was in the hands of the chashmonoim, which were the koyach of Torah. That's what got the Yevanim very upset, because they wanted to dull that Kedusha, and the Dafka Azai, which gives you the indication that if Klal Yisrael was being led not by Shevet Levi, but was being led by Shevet Yehuda, it could very well be that the Yevanim would not have been so upset. They would not have felt that Klal Yisrael is a threat to their way of life. But when Klal Yisrael was being led by the Koyach of Torah, of Kedusha, that was a threat to the Yevanim, and therefore they had to go and make trouble. What? Yisachar, okay, you're asking a good question. There's the Yisachar and the Shevet Levi. How do we, they're both. I don't know the answer. Each one has a different milah, but B'nai Levi is certainly they are in charge of teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. Okay, Ufarzu Chaimos Nidalai. Okay, what are the chaymas? What are the chaymas? The chaymas, what is the wall? So you would think the chaymas means the wall of Yerushalayim. Not so. There is no record anywhere that during the time of the Bayis Sheni, Hanukkah miracle, that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. The walls of Yerushalayim were breached at the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So what's the chaymas? The only breach was in the soireg. The soireg was a very shvacha fence. It was a wicker fence that was just a mark where the goyim are not allowed to enter. That is called the real chayma. The real wall for Klal Yisrael is not the bricks and stones. It's the spiritual barrier. The sereg was the limit until where a non-Jew was allowed to enter. A non-Jew coming too close would contaminate the sanctity, their influence, their way of life, would desanctify the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. The chaymos migdolai are the 13 breaches that the Yevanim opened in the soireg. The soireg was the fence we even have today, in a stone, a plaque from that time, that until here a Jew was allowed, until here a non-Jew can come, a non-Jew may not enter past this point, and the plaque it says, and if a non-Jew enters past this point, he will have no one to blame for his death that other than himself. He's bringing death upon himself. So the pritza and the chaymos midlay of the 13 breaches, the tumu kol hashman, all of the oils. Uminoyser kan kanim nasa nes la sheshanim. Now, what are the kan? Very random time. Why does it say kan kanim? Did you say kan? Uminoyser hakan. Uminoyser hapach. Why is it beloshen rabim? So some want to say it refers to the seven branches of the menorah. Every single day, they put in oil, and yet the kankanim are the neros. It's not the container of the oil that was sealed with the chaysim of the Kohen Gadol. The kankanim, as Blashen Rabim, refers to the seven branches of the menorah. The leftover oil lasted for 7 days. Or some want to suggest that the kankanim refer to the pachim kitanim of Yaakov Avinu. Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, he returned to retrieve empty containers, and in that event of where he fought with the Tsar Shel Esav is where is rooted the miracle of Chanukah. So Uminoisar Kankanim, the fact that Yaakov Avinu, he left over on the other side of the river Kankanim and returned to retrieve those Kankanim, from there grew the miracle of Chanukah.
No reference there.
What?
I was just thinking you'd say a word and triggers
Oh, so they talk about Kankan, but not Kevin. Katie has a whole drosh, but we don't have time for that. Okay. Sheshanim. Klal Yisrael is called Sheshanim. Why is Klal Yisrael called Sheshanim? A rose. Chalatzeles Hasharon. Kesheshanim ben Hachaychin Kain. The answer is because Sheshanim, Sheshan, is surrounded by thorns. At this point in time in history, Klal Yisrael, when they survived, they were still surrounded by enemies. They were surrounded by the Yavanim, surrounded by the Umos Olam. It was the beginning of the end. This was a time, therefore we call in Klal Yisrael, at this point in time in history, they are like a Sheshan, a flower. But a flower, unfortunately, is surrounded by thorns. It was a difficult period in the history of Klal Yisrael. Another reason given, I don't know why this is true, I once Googled this, that a Sheshan has 13 petals. Does anyone ever hear of it's a medrash? A shoshana, a rose, this type of rose has 13 petals. So being that we start off with the breach of Ufartzu Chaymos Migdalai, the Ivanim broke open 13 breaches. So therefore, when we want to talk about the success, the survival, we talk about the Shoshana, because the Shoshana has 13. It's poetic.
13
Midos of Rachamim, 13 Midos Shatar Nidreshes, the 13 is Echad, Echad Elokeinu is B'mashri Echad. So therefore, the theme here is 13. B'nei Bina B'nei Shemayna Kabashir Unanim, Be'u B'nei Bina, Neivin Dovni Tavdovi, Yimei Shemona, 8 days, Kabu, they established it, V'chanika Shir Unanim. Okay, now the last, we are talking about this very quickly, the last pisma in most of the ancient manuscripts does not appear.
Right, that's right.
Okay, this was added later. We do not know it was a part of the original and it was censored, because this refers to the destruction of Edom, and then somehow mysteriously it reappeared. It was part of the original. Or no, it was composed at a later point in time. You should reveal your arm. Take revenge of Edom. It's already hours late. It's time to have mincha. In case the harod the Admon push off Admon is Edom itself. Salmon and Gehenna. Now here's very fascinating. Hawking lanu roya shiva. What in the world is the roya shiva? Now some of the different gears are royim. Some of the gears are royim shiva. Now there's a medrash that says that when Mashiach comes, there are seven royim. David is in the center. On the right is Adam, Shais, and Nisu Shelach. On the left side is Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe, and David is in the middle. I've yet to find, it's a Gemara. It's the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah, maybe? It's a Gemara. Yeah. Okay, there are seven shepherds for Klal Yisrael. Again, David is in the middle. Adam, Shais, Mr. Shelach on the right. On the left is Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe. These are our seven shepherds. Royim. Okay, that's Now we are on the Gerasa Royeh. There is only one shepherd, Royeh Shiva, or Royeh Shiva. Now that's based upon a pasuk in Hosea. To make a long story short, what it basically means, this is the title of Moshiach. Moshiach is called the Royeh Shiva. Why? Look there in the Radak. It explains, because when Mashiach comes, he's going to bring simcha to this world that will be seven times more than the tsar we've experienced in Galus. That is why the Melech HaMashiach is called the Royeh, who's going to transform our tsar into simcha. Now, just you should be aware, for educational purposes, not for anything other than that, is that in Lubavitch, the Messianists, the people who believe that Lubavitch Rebbe was Mashiach, what?
The Mashiachists,
there's an obsession among this group, just telling it for educational purposes, is that the Mashiach is called the Royeh Shiva. There's this legend, I don't know how, where seven in the world, there are seven Lubavitch Rebbes. And Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson was the seventh. And there can't be an eighth. There cannot be an eighth. There cannot be. So therefore he has to be Mashiach by hook or by crook. So a lot of Hasidus, Lubavitch Hasidus, you should be aware, is built upon what it says here in the Mo'osur.
That's why they go with the Chanukah menorahs also.
The Mo'osur, the Royeh Shiva. Yes.
I pointed out to you guys, that you will find this in an article, that I believe it means the shadow of the cross.
Ooh.
Which is talks about Edom.
Very good.
And
who says that?
It's not me, but I put it in the book. Also, Kalbach showed me a ten-stanza version that they used to say.
The Ramah added the Chavistas. Every generation, people use this as an opportunity to write up their personal salvation, their personal miracles.